So Heavenly Father, we thank you for the cross. We remember the cross. We thank you for the sacrifice that you made that we might have life. Eternal life comes from knowing Jesus Christ as Lord. So we confess today Jesus as Lord. Believe that God raised you from the dead. We thank you, Lord, for giving us the new birth, those of us who've called and believed on you. So Lord, we pray for others who are here in this service today who are strangers to the grace of God and do not know Jesus as Lord and Savior. We pray that our words, our singing has been an example to them, that they might be drawn to Jesus. Holy Spirit, draw those to Jesus who need to know him today. And for the rest of us, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your kindness. We thank you for your forgiveness, for all that you do for us, that we might have life, hope, and peace. We remember the cross, and for that we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's people said, amen. Well, good morning. Good to see you. If you have your Bibles, Ruth chapter 4. I'd like for you to find your place there as we finish the book of Ruth today, and we'll begin our Advent time next week. Let me encourage families, couples, singles, everyone, if you will, pick up a guide, work with us through the next few weeks, because we do this in order to come to appreciate and remember the coming of Jesus. And we've been looking at what happened many, many years before Jesus' birth in a place called Bethlehem that became known as the city of David. And we're going to discover in the days ahead, be reminded that in the city of David, there's born unto you one who's a Savior. His name is Christ Jesus the Lord. So we'll be looking forward to that in the days ahead. Today I want to talk to you about a God-blessed family. A God-blessed family. And as we close Ruth chapter 4, this book, we are shocked and surprised the first time through reading it that we would end in such a wonderful way. You know, we've been talking about the book of Ruth, and my primary focus has been to remind us all that the primary teaching of the book of Ruth is this: God provides. God provides for you when you think you're at your lowest point. God provides for you through all the circumstances and situations of life. You may not see the hand and work of God in your life, but God is providing. He is working. And when God works, He surprises us. He does amazing things for us. And that's what we want to think about today: a God-blessed family. So if you'll stand with me and honor the reading of God's Word, we're going to read Ruth chapter 4, beginning in verse number 13. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And he went into her, and the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. Then the women said to Naomi, "Blessed is the Lord whom has not left you without a redeemer today. And may his name become famous in Israel. May he also be to you a restorer of life and a sustainer of your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and is better to you than seven sons, has given birth to him." Then Naomi took the child and laid him in her lap. And became his nurse. The neighbor women gave him a name, saying, "A son has been born to Naomi." So they named him Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now these are the generations of Perez. To Perez was born Hezron. And to Hezron was born Ram. And Ram, and to Ram, Amminadab. And Amminadab was born Nashon, and to Nashon, Salmon, and to Salmon was born Boaz, and to Boaz Obed, and to Obed was born Jesse, and to Jesse David. Heavenly Father, we close out the book of Ruth being reminded of the amazing truth that you care about everyday people just like us, and that you have your way of providing. Lord, today we're reminded of God-blessed families. We thank you for the example that comes from the marriage of Ruth and Boaz. Represents for us and reminds us of the importance of marriage and relationships of commitment we have with one another, and how you work through the generations that come from marriage. So, Lord, we thank you. The blessings that came through Obed and all the way through King David, and then to this very day, we are blessed because of them in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is of the line of David through Joseph. And so, Lord, we thank you for all that you do for us. Help us to hear something today that will change our life. Help us to hear something today that would encourage us to live differently and to love other people and to tell the world about Jesus. May my words honor Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. I want you to see, first of all, this very important principle. We're reading the book of Ruth, and you see these blessings all through the book. You see words of blessings that come from, for instance, Boaz for Ruth in chapter 2. You see blessings that come where Naomi blesses Boaz for who he is. And now we see these blessings. Last week we saw the blessings that come from the city, witnesses who saw Boaz become the one who would accept and marry Ruth, all those blessings. And then we have the blessings that come that we'll look at today. Look, God provides us with blessings of all kinds, but we don't always recognize them. So I want to begin by saying this to you. Sounds rather obvious, but I want to make a point about this today. As we think about God-blessed families, God is the giver of the blessing of life. Did you know today it is a blessing to be alive? Would you agree with that? It's a blessing to be alive. So we read these words. Look at the order. The order's important in verse 13. So Boaz took Ruth. The implication is obvious that Ruth took Boaz. That is, they joined together in marriage. They took one another, and she, Ruth, became his wife. I have to say to you, regardless of the circumstances of life, you know, sometimes things get changed by culture and by convenience. But I want to stand and remind you today that God-blessed families always start with two people, a man marrying a woman marrying a man, who make a covenant agreement and a commitment to one another to be married for life. Oh, I understand there are differences. I understand there come times when that doesn't work out like it should. Nevertheless, it never changes this fact. God intended for a man to be married to a woman for life, for them to be one man, one woman for life, not one woman at a time, not one man at a time, one man, one woman for life. Boaz took Ruth, Ruth took Boaz, and she became his wife. I've said this for many, many years as a pastor, standing before two people. You know, if you don't make a commitment to one another and marry before God, it's just out of convenience. You know, people choose not to marry but live together. I mean, it's housemates or whatever you want to be. I understand their circumstances, but you see, God designed that a man and a woman leave their families, be joined together by commitment of word and agreement, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, for as long as you both shall live till at death you part. Boaz took Ruth. Ruth took Boaz. She became his wife. He became her husband. You see, there's the importance of this is so important for us because all of marriage is based on our word and our agreement to be with someone else and stay with them when it's easy and when it's hard. God is the giver of the blessing of life. So Pastor Mike, you're fussing about all about marriage. Well, what does that have to do with life? I'm glad you asked. If you read the next part of the verse, this is the order. This is God's order. Man gets it out of order, but this is God's order. No kids, no relationships until you're married. And the Lord, Yahweh, the Lord enabled her to conceive. Oh, don't pass over that, church, today. It literally reads in the Hebrew, and the Lord gave her conception. I can understand medical terms. We have our medical people, and all of those things are very important. But God is still the giver of life in the womb and will always be. Remember that. Genesis 29:31, God opened the womb of Leah. Genesis 33:5, Esau and Jacob, two brothers who had a lot of disagreements. And so they were coming together and being reconciled. Jacob's coming from the distance. He comes up to Esau, and here comes all these kids. Here comes all these kids. Kind of like it was at Thanksgiving at your house. Where in the world? What are all these kids? Here they are. They're all coming. Esau says to Jacob, "Whose children are these?" And Jacob says something so sweet. Genesis 33:5. These are the children, are you listening? Whom God has graciously given your servant. You see, God's order is this: one man, one woman for life, based on a covenant agreement to be married for life to that same person. And from those two, they're to be fruitful and multiply. That is, as we say around here, have Baptist babies. That's what we talk about. The children that come from a family are a blessing, but they are also an example of life. Now look, I know this for a fact. There's not one person in this room who hatched out of an egg. I know it took me a long time to learn that, but there's nobody here hatched out of an egg. Everyone was born into this world by a mama and a daddy. And you have life today because of that relationship. It may not have been what you thought it ought to be. You may have your own opinions about mom and daddy, but here you are. Here you are. God is the giver of the blessing of life. So we follow the story. Lots of things have happened to Boaz and Ruth. Lots of talking, lots of discussions, and now the privilege comes. Ruth asked Boaz to marry her. Boaz agreed to marry her, and now we're here at the end of the story. God provides. He provides when a man and a woman come together and agree to live together in all the circumstances of life, sometimes easy, sometimes hard. So for Ruth and for Boaz, they're blessed with one another, but we have somebody else in the story. We have a lady named Naomi. And I want you to see, second of all, that God's family blessing also included this dear woman, Naomi. Now, we got to go back if you have your copy of God's Word. Now, Ruth chapter 1, she came back to Bethlehem after going away to another land called Moab. Her husband died there. Her two sons died there. One of her daughters-in-law went back home. And the other daughter-in-law, a woman of excellence, her name is Ruth, this woman who's now married to Boaz, her daughter-in-law goes back with her to Bethlehem. But her friends, when she comes back to Bethlehem, they see Naomi, her name in Hebrew, Naomi. It is the word to pleasant. She was called pleasant. She was named by her parents pleasant. But she says in verse 20 of chapter 1, "Do not call me pleasant. Do not call me Naomi. Call me Mara," which is the word that means bitter. "The Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has witnessed against me and the Almighty has afflicted me?" So we see this woman who comes back broken, and in her emptiness and in her bitterness, God starts providing. He starts providing all kinds of things for her. You know, God does the same thing for all of us. Did you know that? Just like Naomi. We go through circumstances in our life. We make choices in our life that aren't the best for us. And we experience bitterness, cynicism, emptiness. We're in a bad place. We need somebody to help us. Naomi is an example of what it's like for so many of us. It's an example. This woman is an example of what it's like when God provides for empty, bitter people, even when they don't recognize it. It's not until about halfway through this experience that Naomi starts to realize God has brought some things to pass. He's brought Ruth and Boaz together. It dawns on her that Boaz is a close kinsman. Then she begins to get her spirits up and get excited again. She begins to see, and she encourages Ruth to go and propose to Boaz, as we've talked about before. But this is a woman filled with emptiness and bitterness. And so what do we read here? The Lord enabled Ruth to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. The son, the grandchild that Naomi thought she'd never have because her two sons were gone. And then in verse 14, the women encouraged Naomi. Can I say this to you? You know, sometimes your friend who's having a hard time, practice what these dear women practiced toward Naomi. Look at their encouragement. Look what they did. First of all, they blessed the Lord. "Blessed is the Lord who has not left you." By the way, that's something some of you need to hear in here today. We serve a God who provides and who loves, and listen, He's not left you. God is there. He is working. For some, He's waiting for you to call out to Him and say, "Lord, help me, forgive me of my sin." Look what these ladies say. "Blessed is the Lord, blessed is the Lord who has not left you, Naomi, without a close relative." Now you have a next generation. "And may His name become famous in Israel. May your child be a blessing." And then they go on in verse 15. "May He also be to you a restorer of life and a sustainer of your old age." Any of us who have grandchildren in here, and there's a number of us, we know what it's like and how grandchildren and great-grandchildren and beyond sustain us in a very different way. To see your children's children and your children's children's children become such a blessing. It restores, it brings back life. It sustains you in your old age. You don't want to miss out on what those grandkids are going through. You see, it's the blessing that comes from the family. It's not that they're perfect. It's not that they're always going to do everything right. But these are a blessing from God. These little ones that grow to be men and women. You see all of those things that happen. And Naomi's friends were trying to encourage this woman who had lived in bitterness and a sense of emptiness that things have changed. Now look at your life, Naomi. Look at how God has blessed you. In fact, look at the daughter-in-law you have, verse 15. "You also have a daughter-in-law who loves you and is better to you than seven sons. And she has given birth to this child, this grandchild you thought you'd never have." Let me tell you, God provides, and He knows. Are you listening to me today? He knows what's best for you. He knows the timing for when things are best for you. Do you believe that today? God provides like that. He does. Just what He did for Naomi. She came back without any grain, without any harvest, without any hope, in her emptiness and in her bitterness. And lo and behold, we read in verse 16, then Naomi took the child and laid him in her lap, and she became his nurse. May I say it like this? This empty woman, Naomi, now has a baby. She has her hands full, doesn't she? That's just what the Lord does. He takes us in our emptiness and He fills us. He fills us. He fills us. But the difference now is that the blessing that happened for Naomi, the blessing in this family, this God-blessed family, is a blessing for the world. That's the last thing I want you to hear today. God's family blessing is for the world. These neighbors, a son has been born to Naomi. Now, wait a minute. Naomi didn't have the baby. But they declare a son has been born to Naomi. And so they name him Obed. And look at this. It's like a secondary comment. But it's at the core of the truth of what God's trying to teach us from the book of Ruth. It says here, a son has been born to Naomi, and so they named him Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now, if you read back a few chapters, when we started in the book of Ruth, with the last verse in the book of Judges, Judges 21, that says, in those days, there was no king in Israel. And everyone did what was right in his own eyes, but now, time has changed. There's been one who's been born. There's one who's coming, and his name was David, the hope of Israel, the king of Israel, the glorious, wonderful, the wonderful poet, the one who was a man after God's own heart, the one that God used so many ways, so much in Israel's history, but he came from a family. He came from a family, Ruth being his great-grandmother and a great-great-grandmother here. We find these stories, I'm sure David understood and knew. We recognize that the family is a place where one generation, are you listening to me, tells another generation how God has provided and blessed them. I hope at Thanksgiving time, in the midst of all the stuff, you took the time to pause and say, we're thankful, God, for how you have provided for us. That's what Thanksgiving's about. In fact, Paul says that Christians are to be thankful people all the time. Give thanks for this, whatever it is, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. So God's family blessing has come to the rest of the world. For the sake of time, I'm going to read this. Matthew chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. In Matthew chapter 1, Matthew writes the generations, the family generations of Joseph's side of the family into which Jesus was born. Though he was born miraculously by the Holy Spirit, he was in the family of Joseph, and we read these words, Matthew 1, 5, and 6. Salmon was the father of Boaz, who was born by Rahab, a harlot. Boaz was the father of Obed by Ruth, an outsider from Moab, and Obed the father of Jesse, and Jesse the father of David the king. You know what's interesting as you read the genealogies in the Bible? It teaches us a really important point about God's family blessing for the world. You see, here it is. I'm looking at all of you out here. I have the blessing. I see more of you than you see up here. I see all of you. Seen all of our people who've been here all morning long. You know what's wonderful about it? Everybody has a name, and everybody matters to God. But do you believe it? Do you really believe that God is at work in your life? Do you really believe it? I find people all the time who talk about how grateful and how glad they are that God's doing something in somebody else's life, but they don't really believe that God would do anything in their life. Listen, whosoever, listen to the Bible, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be what? Will be saved. Whoever, it doesn't matter your family background. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter your country of origin. It doesn't matter what language you speak. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And these genealogies tell us that these people come from all kinds of backgrounds, all kinds of experiences, some outside the family of Israel, others who lived questionable lives, but there was one common factor. They were all a part of God's plan and purpose in the coming blessing of Jesus for the world. Look, you're never going to understand what God may do with the children that come from your marriage or from your children's marriages. But what we do is we pray and we say, may the Lord bless the children born into our family and the children born from our children as long as there is a day before Jesus comes. God's family blessing is for the world. And here's the final thing. You become a part of God's family by trusting in Jesus as Lord and Savior. We sang about the old rugged cross. Jesus died on the cross so we might have life. You must believe on Him. The Bible says if you will confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. That's the promise of God's Word. And so today, for some of you, the most important decision, the most important decision is for you to trust Jesus as Lord and become a part of God's forever family. You're born again. You come into the family of God. You're a brother and sister with those of us who are here who have trusted Christ. Our families of origin are a blessing and they matter, but nothing matters more than being a part of God's family. And that is the blessed family. Let's bow our heads for a few minutes and thank you for listening. Heavenly Father, thank you for these wonderful dear people who are here today. We just think about the story of an unlikely person like Ruth to find a man like Boaz. For Boaz in his loneliness to find a woman like Ruth, and then for Naomi and all of her bitterness and all of her struggles and all of her loss of husband and sons to be sitting with a baby on her lap. Oh, what an example of what you do. And for some of us today, we'll leave this place with the same blessings all around us. For some who are in this place, they still find themselves in bitterness and emptiness. Perhaps today is the day they find that their emptiness can be filled only through knowing Jesus as Lord and Savior. Help us, Lord, to be thankful for your guiding, unseen hand in all the work of our life from beginning to end. Thank you for what you're going to do in the boys and girls who are here in this room. For the students who are here, the young adults, the middle-aged adults, the seniors all across this place. Thank you for what you do. You bless people through your blessed people. So Lord, for those today who need Jesus, who need a Savior, who need to come to Christ, I pray that you give them the courage to publicly step up and come down this aisle and say to one of the preachers, I'm ready to follow Jesus. I don't know what to do. I'm ready to believe on Him. Show me what to do. For others who need to join this church, you'd give them the motivation to do it today. So Lord, whatever you do today, have your way in this service. In Jesus' name. Would you stand, please? We're going to sing.